This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Despite growing up in the strictly segregated world of 1940s Detroit, Dennis Archer put himself through college and then law school through determination and hard work. He was the first person of color to become president of the American Bar Association, as well as the State Bar of Michigan, which once banned African Americans from joining. He became a justice of the Michigan Supreme Court and then was elected mayor of Detroit twice. Archer was also a member of Western Michigan University's Board of Trustees. Let the Future Begin is Archer's autobiography, co-written with Elizabeth Ann Atkins. Why don't we go back to what prompted you to write it? What's that message that you really want to convey to the readers of this book?
What prompted me to write it was my wife of long standing. She was the one who encouraged me to go to law school. And ultimately, I did, and fell in love with the law. And then I did the smartest thing I think I've ever done in my life. I married the teacher who suggested I go to law school. And so
there's always that good woman behind the man.
Listen, in this case, she was ahead of me. I was just fortunate. In any event, she encouraged me to go to law school, and so I did. And after having had the privilege of practicing law and having the privilege of being presidents of different bar associations, serving on the Supreme Court, and then really privileged to be mayor of the city of Detroit for two terms before I decided I wouldn't run again, she encouraged me to write a book so that our grandchildren, we have two grandsons, they're 9 and 12, would be able to appreciate what I tried to do with my life, and that I could also share with the public what I did while growing up and going to school and having been mayor. Because, as she pointed out, you've had the benefit of the press writing about you, but they wrote about what they saw and what they felt was important. But if you write this book, you'll be able to leave a legacy for your grandchildren. And there are a lot of things that, as I thought about it, our two sons, adult sons, did not know about me. That I told them a lot about me, but, you know, you don't, there's some things you either inadvertently leave out or whatever, and I wanted them to know. And so that's what motivated me to write it. And as I wrote it, it occurred to me that I thought that young people would see how I grew up, having been born in Detroit and 5 years of age, moving to Cassopolis, population 1,200. People, great community, we did not have running water. And so we had an outhouse, and we had a honey pot that we used at night. I mean, there was a lot of, we didn't have running water. I took a bath in a metal tub every Saturday night.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. And then you make a decision, as you're an associate justice, to run for mayor of Detroit and eventually becoming the 59th mayor for two terms. How did you make that decision?
I had been encouraged, and people had talked to me right after I got elected to obtain my seat on the Supreme Court, that I ought to think about running for mayor. Well, Coleman Young was our mayor. He had been mayor at that point. He was just been elected to his fifth term. And there were some issues that were occurring related to the city. Businesses were moving outside of the city. People were not investing in the city. We were starting to experience, because of the economy and the need to reduce the deficit and the like, crime was rising. We had a lot of storefronts that were closed and boarded up, and we had people leaving the city. And they'd been leaving the city since 1954.
Yeah.
We had a population just over a million people, according to the 1990 census. But it also reported that the city of Detroit had the highest percentage of people living below poverty. It was 32.2%. The number of children who lived in households living below poverty was about 46.6%. People needed jobs. They needed to find find jobs because the jobs had moved outside of the city of Detroit. And people who were working outside, those who did not own cars or couldn't connect with a neighbor who or someone who was driving to where the job was, they'd have to take two or three buses to get there. And so there was a lot of concern. And so I started thinking about that. First of all, Mayor Young was someone that I admired and respected. So I had a high regard for him, but I was troubled by what I was seeing in the city as I drove around. And so when Governor Blanchard lost his election to then State Majority Leader John Engler, I then went to Governor Blanchard and said, look, I'm thinking about running for mayor. And according to state statute, I've got to resign 1 year before the primary of the office that I was going to seek outside of the judiciary. If I resign, I'd love for you to please consider appointing a person of color to take my place, because I don't want us to be without representation on the court, because that court is so important. He said he'd do it. Mm-hmm. And I resigned, and he appointed Conrad Mallett. In December of 1990, I went up to visit with President James Duderstadt, who was the president of the University of Michigan, and asked him if he thought he could find perhaps five or six, seven professors who'd be willing to work with me, because I was thinking about running for mayor. Mm-hmm. And that would be awful helpful. And turns out he was able to do that. And we met from January, February of 1991 until the end of May 1991. And we'd have meetings out at the, in Livonia at the Observer and Obcentric newspapers owned by Phil Power. The professors would invite people from around the country who had experienced solutions for problems we were facing in Detroit. And I invited people from Detroit who were familiar with the issues that we were confronted with. And so we went about the business of looking for solutions to the problems, because I knew if I was going to be running against Mayor Coleman Young, I couldn't stand up to the microphone and say, my name is Dennis Archer. I'm a former member of the Michigan Supreme Court. I love my city, and I think I'm qualified to run. I think I can do a great job. And then in the press conference, somebody said, well, what are you going to do about housing? What are you going to do about crime?
Right.
I knew I could not say at that point, well, we're going to have a white paper that we're going to share with. I needed to have answers then. And so that's the reason why we came up with the Thoughts for Greater Detroit. And if you are familiar with it at all, finished that paper and sent it out to over 1,000 people in November of 1991. When people went to their doorstep on January 1st of 2001, they were picking up their newspapers, which talked about Detroit turning itself around and becoming a world-class city, and laid out what they would find in the city 10 years out.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Dennis Archer, the author of Let the Future Begin. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.